Acts chapter 11, if you'll turn there. Acts chapter 11. Now, as you're turning there, I just wanted to ask you a question. You don't have to answer and you don't have to raise your hand, but something to think about before we progress on into the message. If I were to ask you today, which I'm doing, if as a Christian, assuming you're a Christian, if you were growing today, if you are growing in the Lord today, if you are further along in the Lord today than you were maybe last year, what would you think? What would you say? It's an interesting question because when we get saved, that's just the beginning. The Bible says that God daily loads us with benefits. And the neat thing about being a Christian is when we get saved, the work of God and the benefits of God just begin at that moment. And as we grow to enjoy more of God. He grows to complete us, to satisfy us, to fill us with all the things of Him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. The blessings, the benefits of a Christian. That's why it's important to grow, because we enjoy the things of God. But sometimes there's issues, there's things that hang us up. And maybe this morning we haven't even really saw the necessity to then pursue this amazing journey and opportunity called godliness and growth. The salvation event brings that opportunity to us that we can now grow to be like God. This morning, the title of the message is Fertile Soil for Healthy Growth. You see, in a room like this, there is a constant and there are variables for you math majors. There is the Word of God going out. That's the constant. We're all in this together at this point in time. But the variable is you and I. The variable is our soil, our heart. You see, we can teach the Bible to 30, 40, 50, 60, 100,000 different people. And the results of that, a lot of times, will vary on our soil. How we receive the Word of God. How we come in here on Sunday morning. And how we come in here on Wednesday night. Our attitudes towards that. That's what we're going to look at this morning. You see, the early church, they had some issues that needed to be dealt with. Some things in their life that prevented them from really experiencing the fullness of God. And that's really what happens when we fail to grow. We're failing to receive the full benefits, the full glory, the full goodness of God. And so for us, the exhortation, the importance is to keep moving forward, to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in Him, to grow in the Lord. A lot of times we can grow in a lot of things, but really the issue, the important thing is that we are growing in the Lord. And there's fertile soil, there's our hearts. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, it talks about four different soils, speaking sort of from a farmer's perspective. And it says that the Word of God is the seed, and our hearts are the soil. There are different types of soil. And if we're Christians here this morning, then we've received the Word of God into our soil. And the Word of God then will begin to take root. But it's interesting in Matthew 13, verse 14, I'll just read it to you. Matthew is quoting from the book of Isaiah. And he says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. There are certain people that the book of Isaiah says that people hear. They hear the word, but they still don't understand. They see, but they don't perceive. And it says the reason. The reason in verse 15, it says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Many people today are not being healed, are not being completed, are not being restored and made whole because they may be in church and hear but not hear God. They may hear the voice of the teacher or the preacher but not hear God. They can see the work of God but not see God's hand behind it. The reason? The heart has grown dull. As a church that emphasizes the Word of God and teaches the Word of God and understands the importance of the Word of God, there's a danger that we need to take note of. That we can hear the Word of God without spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and we can gain information but not gain God. It's a danger we need to watch out for. Because God's Word is meant to bring us to the Lord. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, 7 times you'll hear this saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say." I'm paraphrasing. He who has an ear, let him hear the Spirit. And so this morning, I want to look at, through the book of Acts, 9 different things that are involved in fertile soil. That we can hear God's Word, and God's Word will come into our hearts and take root and flourish. That one seed of God's Word will reproduce 100-fold fruit. That's the idea. Now, 9 points, they're small points. Don't worry yourself. They're small mini points. But they're important. They're important because as Christians, God wants us to live in spiritual abundance, not spiritual poverty. And He wants to enjoy the benefits and the blessings that He has wrought for us on the cross in Jesus. He wants us to enjoy that. Let's take a look. Chapter 11, verse 1. Fertile soil for healthy growth. Now, the apostles and brethren who were in Judea, they heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. If you recall, we've been looking at chapter 10 and the fact that the mystery of the church, which was Jews and Gentiles, there's no distinction anymore between groups. There's no segmentation in people. That at the cross, we can all be one in Christ. That was a big thing for a Jewish person to get their mind around. Because for thousands of years, they considered anybody who wasn't Jewish to be unclean. That they weren't to touch, involve themselves with, or go into the house of anybody who wasn't a Jew, a Gentile. And so Peter now, the first time the church has really reached out to somebody who wasn't a Jew, God worked this whole situation out, and I'm not going to recap it very much because Peter's going to do that for us. But the point is that we need to understand is that there was a huge barrier broken in Acts chapter 10. And that was now that the gospel was for everybody, not for any one group of people, and that everybody needed it. And so now as Peter, he preached the word, God worked the situation out, and Gentiles received Christ just like the Jews did. Notice in verse 1, it says that the Gentiles also received the Word of God. Notice the importance there. Receiving the Word of God. That's how a person comes to know Jesus as their Savior. Receiving the Word. Verse 2, it says, "And when Peter came up to Jerusalem," now Peter's going back up to Jerusalem, "those of the circumcision," those were the Jews, they contended with him, saying, "You went into uncircumcised men and you ate with them?" Exclamation mark. But Peter explained it to them in order, from the beginning, saying, and here's the first point, I was in the city of Joppa praying. If you're taking notes here, having a fertile heart and an open heart to where God can overcome major hang-ups and major issues in our life, which He's doing here, is proper prayer. Not prayer, I'm saying proper prayer. Because the Bible tells us that the Pharisees prayed, didn't really do them much good. It made them more prideful. In fact, they would go into the populated places and pray in such a way where people would say how wonderful they were. They would give them credit. They would exalt them and say, look how holy these people are. And so I'm saying proper prayer because proper prayer, the very act of prayer, is saying that a person needs God's help. That a person is humbling themselves in such a way that they're saying they are completely dependent upon God. This is a heart now that's beginning to be ready for God to deal with major issues in our life. The early church, they had some major hang-ups, and this was a big major hang-up. We too have major hang-ups in our lives, major issues that God would like to deal with. The early church could not move on, they could not move forward, they could not grow unless this issue was dealt with. Major issue here, because the early church thought that the gospel was only for the Jews. They thought that Jesus was only for the Jews. They thought that there's no way the Jews could have any interaction with anybody outside of the Jewish nation and the Jewish religion. Major hang-up. Imagine if this wasn't overcome, this issue wasn't changed. Imagine. Things would be a lot different, wouldn't they? But see, Peter, who was one of those who had the major issue in dealing with people that were not living their life according to the Jewish law, the thing that now he was allowing to happen and the way God was able to work in his life to overcome this major issue was he was praying properly. He was committed his life into seeking God in prayer, to communicating with Him in such a way that he was allowing God to speak to him. And that's really what prayer is. Prayer is, as people like to say, it's aligning our will with God's will. It's not changing God's will. It's changing our heart to come into agreement with what God wants to do. Proper prayer then. Now Peter's on his way to making major changes in his life. The things that were holding him back from a completeness and a wholeness in Christ. He was praying properly. Lord, what do you see and what do you think and what do you want to speak to me about? Let's move on. In verse 5 he says, and in a trance I saw a vision and an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently, the second point there is careful consideration. Peter's praying in such a way where he really wants to know what God thinks. It's an interesting study if you have a Bible program on your computer or a concordance. Just look up ways. Or look up the Lord's ways. Interesting. But what you find is that the Lord's ways are not our ways. The thing is that God saved us to be different than we were. He didn't save us to be exactly the same. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be saved, would we? But see, God saved us to make us different, because His ways are not our ways. His ways are altogether not like our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are right and our ways are wrong. And part of the working of God in our hearts after we get saved is trying to get us to understand and come along with, in agreement, God's ways. The way that happens then is through prayer. And then as we pray and God begins to speak, that we would consider carefully what God may be saying. See, we can pray just to do our duty or get our credit or punch our time clock or scan our time clock, depending on where you work. But prayer then leads to God communicating to our hearts, speaking to our hearts about things regarding His ways. And then as Peter did, then we're to consider that, to consider what God may be saying to us. Have we done that this week? Have we really considered what God may be saying to us and what God may be doing in our life and what God wants us to know about His ways? Because His ways are the ways of blessing. Our ways are on a path that leads to destruction. And as we become Christians, as we get saved, then the process is that God would show us His ways and that we would walk in His ways. See, not walking in His ways is walking to destruction. Not walking in God's ways is basically saying, I'm a glutton for punishment and I want to be miserable. I want evil to come upon me. I want hurt and harm and depression and discouragement to overtake me. That's what we're saying when we're ignoring God's ways. But we have to admit, because God's ways are so different from our ways, sometimes that can be a difficult thing to understand God's ways. And that's why we're to really consider what God may be saying and what God may be doing in our hearts. We're to consider that. Peter was doing that. Big obstacle he had to overcome. Thousands of years of tradition. You ever see Fiddler on the Roof? Anybody? A couple hands back there, one hand here, a few there. It's a good movie to watch. You should check it out. You get an idea about Judaism and the Jewish traditions. Hard, hard thing to break. And maybe in our life there are habits, shortcomings, weaknesses, traditions that we are clinging to so tightly that God wants to deal with us in those things so that we can now be more full of Him, more complete in Him, stronger in Him. But these hang-ups, we're having a hard time letting Him go. Well, carefully consider what God may be saying. Carefully think about in prayer what God may be asking us to do. The next point. I told you there are many points. Next point. He goes on to explain in verse 6 that he saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And he says, I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. That's our resistance, isn't it? That's our struggle as God reveals the truth to us, the error of our ways, the selfishness of our ways, the worldliness of our ways, our pride maybe, the issues that we have. And we say, not so, Lord. And that's the sign of most young Christians. When we just get saved, oh, it's so awesome. Now, Lord, leave me alone and let me do our thing, my thing. And God says, I want to bless you. I want to teach you my ways. And you're saying, not so, Lord. No way. I'm saved. I'm already going to heaven. So leave me alone. And God says, not so. I love you and I want to bless you. And so we're in that struggle. We're in that struggle. In verse 8, but I said, not so, Lord! Exclamation point. For nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. You notice the pride there? Something involved there with pride. No way am I going to eat with those people. I have to hold to my traditions and hold to my beliefs. No way I'm going to be changed. In verse 9, but a voice answered me again from heaven. That's a lot of times how God works in our life. If you're highlighting or note-taking, circle again. Because God's good like that. He'll say, not so, person. I'm not just going to give you over to what you want. Not so. I love you too much. But the voice in verse 8 answered me again from heaven. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done 3 times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. Then the verse 11, at that very moment, 3 men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. The third point here is unwavering belief. Did you know the book of Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the Word of God is no profit to a person who doesn't put their faith in it? Did you know that we can sit in church day in and day out and hear messages and sermons, and yet if we don't place our faith and trust in that, it does no good? Did you know that? It's a danger there, isn't there? There's a concern there, because as we saw in that quote in Matthew from Isaiah, that hearts can get dull. They can get unfeeling, past feeling even. That hearts can get to the place to where you can hear the Word of God over and over again, and it just becomes noise or words. It becomes cliche. It doesn't penetrate our hearts. And the Bible would say that it's because our hearts are hardened, are stony, are cold to the Word of God. That is a really dangerous place to be. In the book of Revelation, the church at Laodicea. Some of you know that as the what church? The lukewarm church. Lukewarm is to where God really doesn't have any effect on you. Imagine a person that has become so hardened that God of the universe doesn't really affect them. Some of the hardest people to reach are churched people. Are people who hear the Word of God so much but have not yielded to the Word of God. Their hearts have grown dull and they've heard everything, they've seen everything without an impact in their life. That's a scary place to be. Because John tells us in the book of Revelation that church, they are neither hot nor cold, so God vomited them or spit them out of His mouth. You can't do anything with the person who has no feeling towards God. And you notice this is all a heart issue, isn't it? It's not a matter of more information. It's a heart issue here. And I believe probably most of us don't need more information. We need more God. That's the issue at hand here. And so, unwavering belief then. It's then hearing the Word of God after we pray and we're considering the things of God. We're thinking about what He would say and what He wants us to do. And then we put our faith in that. It is a wonderful, blessed day when you and I come to the place and come to the conclusion that what we read in our Bibles is God's Word. And we don't have to worry about some skeptic coming up and disproving it wrong. We don't have to worry about anything, because in our heart we know more than anything this is God's Word. And that it's in our heart. And God has written it on our heart. And when we believe in God's Word, that's when the magic begins to happen. When we pray, we consider, we look at God's Word, and we put our faith in it, that's when the magic starts to happen. That's when those seeds begin to be watered. That's where life springs forward. Spiritual life, the life of God, the abundant life in Christ. It's when we put our faith in God's Word. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can live like practical atheists. We can believe God to be saved, yet in the very circumstances of our life that we encounter, then we don't trust God for those things. Little things creep into our life and we believe more in the circumstance and the difficulty than we do in the power of God to overcome those circumstances and His ability to get us through them. God's Word says that all things happen together for good. God's Word says that God will see us through. Do we believe that? How does our life reflect that, then, if we do believe that? Are we worriers, doubters? Do we live our life filled with anxiety? Do we live our life looking at every circumstance and saying, I give up? Or do we live our life looking at God and His power to get us through and see us through anything? That's faith in the Word of God. God wants that faith to work itself out in our life. He doesn't want us just to look at His Word and say, this is just theory, theology, information. This is a living Word. This is not a recipe for self-help. This is not a cookbook for a better life. This is God's living Word that He says He wants to write it on our heart so that we will be different. We will be transformed. We will be completely made over from the inside out. Completed. What do we do with that? God's Word. Do we put our faith in it? Do we walk out here and say, that's right. God said it. Let it be so. Amen. Let it be so. The next mini point. Verse 12. Let me read that again. The Spirit told me to go with them doubting nothing. Love that. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Big no-no for a Jewish person entering a Gentile's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who had said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, Peter's relating the story, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. The fourth mini point. It's grace experienced. Grace that had been experienced by Peter was so incredible, so wonderful, that as God had touched his life with that grace, and God had worked in his life through prayer and consideration and through faith, Peter couldn't see how that grace would not then extend out to other people. Peter, who was a major recipient of grace, understood that the grace of God wasn't just for certain people. It's important to us. If we're going to be fertile soil for God to grow in our life, that we understand His grace. That His grace is sufficient for us. That is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. That we're to grow in grace. Did you know that's what happens when we're growing? See, a lot of people make the mistake of growing. That we're to grow in knowledge, we're to grow in information, we're to grow in our ability to attack people with the gospel, to attack people with apologetics. And we're told that as we grow, we become humbler, softer to the Lord, more sensitive to the Lord, not wimpy. Jesus wasn't wimpy, but he was resolute about his focus. He was purposeful about his focus. But at the same time, he was compassionate. He was loving. And that's because he understood the grace of God. And that's the neat thing about when we grow. That's the neat thing is God works in our life. We begin to look at people differently. We begin to understand God differently. We begin to enjoy what real grace is differently. Our whole life is transformed by this. This is what happens when we grow. We don't grow, nor should we grow in pride. That happens a lot. And that can be a danger too when we sit and hear the word that we can grow in pride. I know this and you don't know that. I do this and you don't do that. I don't have this and you do have this. I'm better than you. We missed it, haven't we? We've missed the grace of God. We don't know the grace of God when we live like that. But see, when we're praying properly, carefully considering our ways and God's way, putting faith unwavering in His Word, then grace begins to grow out of our life. And that's one of the true marks of a Christian. Grace, and I believe that grace manifests itself a lot of times in love. By this, they'll know you're my disciples. How? By how much scripture I have memorized? By how many meetings I attend? By your love for one another. You have to be touched by the grace of God to really understand that. As we grow in the Lord, we grow in grace. As we grow in grace, love is manifested outwardly in our life. That was a little longer, but the next point's a little shorter. The next mini point. After grace experience, it's real quick. Get ready. Verse 16. Then I remembered the word. Remembering the word. Remembering the word. Very important. The book of James has a real good statement about that. I'd like to read for you. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Did you know when you just hear the word and it doesn't activate in your life in a practical way, did you know you're deceiving yourselves? Verse 23 of James 1. For anyone who's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself. Hey, what's cooking? Looking at the mirror, hey, looking pretty good. He goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The Bible, the Word, it's like a mirror. It shows us who we are, what we're like. It shows us where God would like to work in our life. But if we just ignore it, if we come to church on Sunday, Wednesday night, we say, oh yeah, that was cool. All right, then let's get on with life. Let's get on with eating and drinking and being merry, for tomorrow we die. That sort of thing is a problem. He goes on to say, James in verse 25 of chapter 1, he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, God wants to free us from the trap of ourselves. He says, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, this goes back to, do we believe that? Are we going to put our unwavering faith in that? We're told, God's telling us, if we look at His Word and we do it, then we're going to be blessed. Would anybody here like to be blessed? A couple hands back there. There's one. Some people would like to be blessed. And in reality, that's really what we all want. We want to be blessed with God. How does that happen? There's no shortcuts to this. We're told in James chapter 1, if we would like to be blessed, it's completely up to us. If we'd like that, we have an opportunity. First, we must be born again and we must be saved. And if you are, God's speaking to you. And He's saying, here's your opportunity if you'd like to be blessed. Look into His Word, read it, and do it. God's ways now. He's trying to teach us His ways. They're the way of blessing. If we were to reverse that and say, then if we don't want to be blessed, here's how not to be blessed. If you don't want to be blessed, here's how to do it. Don't look at God's Word, or look at it, shut it, and ignore it. Don't do it. Don't take heed to it. Don't listen to it. And then you will guarantee, this is God's Word here, you'll guarantee yourself that you won't be blessed. And so remember the Word. Don't just hear it, but it has to activate in our life. It has to become something that directs our life, God's ways. That's what His book is all about, God's ways. The next mini point. This is a quick one too, be ready. Verse 16 again. Then I remembered the Word. And all this is Peter explaining to guys that didn't want him to speak to the Gentiles. Remember the context. It's Peter explaining to them how God changed his heart so dramatically. It says, of the Lord, how He said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's remembering the Word. Verse 17, if therefore God gave them the same gift as He gave us when we believed, how do we get the gift? Yeah, it says right here, how do we receive the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, salvation? Believe. Believe on what? What does that say there? On the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I, notice this, that I should withstand God? Who was I, Peter said, after I said, not so, Lord, three times, and after I resisted God, and after I just really didn't want to be involved with a certain group of people, who was I then to really withstand God? How did he come to that point? Proper prayer, careful consideration, unwavering belief, remembering God's Word. And now, the next mini point, it's a humble submission. James 4:16, God gives grace to the humble, but God resists the proud. It's a humble submission now. This is a battle of wills here. To where Peter got to the point where finally he allowed God's will to be first. This is how we grow. This is how we have fertile soil. We say, not my will. That's a hard thing for a new believer. It's still working from that point of view that we have from the time we're babies, where everything's mine and me, and our whole world centers and focuses and revolves around us. It's not the sun everything revolves around. It's us. We're the center of the universe, and everything revolves around us. But when we get saved, then God then is working in our hearts to get us to understand His will is way better. That what He has designed for our life is way better. And so what He asks us to then, and there has to come a point in our life where we will submit ourselves to that. And finally just say, you know, I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of doing my own thing. Lord, all right, I give up. It's that whole story in the Old Testament of Jacob wrestling with God. If you remember that story, he won, Jacob won. He won in his wrestling match against God. You know how he won? He gave up and he lost. That's how he won. That's how we win. By giving up. By finally getting to the point where he said, okay, I put my hands up, I surrender, I'm done. Okay, God, now work in my life. I surrender. Peter was a guy, maybe like many of us, maybe like me, that had a hard time with that. He was a guy that was very independent, that really, he had to be broken for him to get to the point where he just said, okay, I'm sorry. And many of us have gone through that. We had to get broken before we can say, God, okay, I give up. This is ridiculous. The smarter person doesn't go through a whole bunch of stuff and says, I see your word, God. I see what happens. I want to be blessed. I give my life to you. I'm just going to do what you want me to do. That's it. So that point then was a humble submission. That's what it really takes, a humbleness, a humility, a softness to the Lord to say, Lord, your will be done. The next 3 points are going to come like rapid fire, so be ready. There's 3 points in this last verse. Verse 18, when they heard these things, so here's the response of the guys then that Peter was talking to, the guys that were of the circumcision. They were Jewish guys who had not come to the point yet where Peter was, where Peter had been ministered to by God and allowed this barrier, this hang-up, this issue to be taken away. So now he can grow past it. The guys he spoke to now were getting that. They were being taught that. Verse 18, when they heard these things, they became silent. That's my next point. A satisfying silence. Boy, it is so great to come before the Lord in humble submission. After God reveals things, we've considered things, we prayed, we saw His Word, and just stop talking. Just stop arguing, stop resisting, stop exercising our will, and then we just become silent before the Lord. Happy is the day when we can fall silent before the Lord and just say, Lord, it's not really that important what I say. What's important is what you say. And then we become silent before the Lord, listening to Him in humble submission, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That's important. It's a satisfying silence when we stop the arguing with God. And we just become still in our hearts. Now we're growing. Now our hearts are being fertile. Now as the people in our story of the circumcision group, as they were contending with Peter, now as they heard and God ministered their hearts, they've become silent before the Lord. The next point, and they glorified God. The next point, guess what? Glorifying God. You got it. Glorifying God. This now is really the motivation for our lives as Christians. That our lives would be to glory to God. And that should be always the first and foremost thing. These guys had some major issues that were traditions that were embedded in their life. And because of that, God was not being glorified. God was not being glorified by them saying certain people are unclean or certain people are dirty or certain people aren't good or certain people aren't worthy to have our friendship. God was not glorified there. How was God glorified? He was glorified in that all would come to know the grace of God. That's how He was glorified. Ultimately, on the big thing, the big screen of life, God's glorified when we allow His work to happen and overcome these hang-ups that we have in our life through the steps that we looked at in such a way then that not man, but God gets the glory. That's what's important, isn't it? That He gets the glory. We're told as Christians that we're to be the light of the world, that our light should point to God. Our lives should manifest the life of God. Our lives should demonstrate what God is like. That's why the early church, in fact, in this chapter, for the first time, we're not going to get to it today, but the first time recorded in Scripture is the word Christian. That means they were like Christ. And that wasn't a good term. That wasn't like, oh, cool, they're Christian. That was a mocking term. That was a bad term. But people noticed something different. The last point, it says, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance. The last point here, then, is right repentance. This means that there comes a point. Repentance is turning a direction, isn't there? There's a going of our way, and then there's a turning and going of God's way. And they're opposite directions. A right repentance. A godly repentance. It will reproduce in the beginning a sorrow in our heart that we'll see that we have gone away from God. That we have lived our life practically in rejection of God by the way we live our life. And we can do that as believers. Not taking heed to God's word. Not giving account in our actions and the choices that we make and the things that we do. What God may be thinking about those things. Do we consider that? Or do we just do whatever we feel like? Whatever we want? Or do we consider and think about, well, what might God say in this issue? What might He want me to do in this issue? That's a right repentance. It affects the heart. A wrong repentance is a superficial repentance. I see that with my kids all the time. Just so they don't get in trouble, they'll say whatever I want to hear. Just so they can have dessert that night, they'll say whatever I want to hear. But has their heart been affected? Usually not, because 10 minutes later they do the same thing. A right repentance in it is seeing what we're seeing here this morning and saying, you know, I have issues. I have hang-ups. And I understand maybe I'm not growing. Maybe there's things in my life that are wrong. And a right repentance says, I'm not going to continue down that road anymore. But I'm going to turn and go down God's road. That's a right repentance. And this is not a point, but in conclusion, I want to show you what it leads to. Notice the last word there. What is it? What is it? What is it? It's life. That's it. That's what all this is about. It's getting us to understand there is really a life in Christ. That life is an abundant life, we're told. That life is filled with peace in our heart. Do we have that this morning? A peace in our heart? Do we have a love in our heart? Not a superficial thing, but God wants to do work deep in our heart. Do we have a real joy in our heart? Not the kind of joy where it's dependent on good things happening to us in our life, but a joy that is so deep rooted inside of us that whatever happens, it doesn't affect that joy. That we're standing on a solid rock, an unwavering faith in Christ, and He's working and growing these things because we have fertile soil in our life, so we experience these things deep in our heart. It's not a joy that necessarily is a smile on our face, it's a smile on our heart. Are we smiling inside today? That's why these things are so important, because as we grow as Christians, that's what happens in our life. And so this morning, the message, where does it find you? Are we fertile soil? Are we growing? Where are we going to be next week? Are we going to be just where we are today in our Christian life? Or are we going to be different by next week? As we leave here today, the Bible says God's word won't return void. Are we just going to block God's word and go out here and be exactly the same? Or is God's Word going to be written on our hearts by His Holy Spirit? And is He going to affect us in the deepest parts of our heart? That's the issue here. The variable, look around. The variable is us. The constant is God. Because God wants to and desires to do this work in us. That's why we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He's working towards that end. Now our opportunity is to come alongside and be fertile ground, fertile soil for this. Or we can be hard soil, harden our hearts, and never let this affect us whatsoever. So it boils down to a choice. What today do we decide we're going to live for? That's the issue at hand. And my prayer this morning is just as a church that we will see the goodness and the blessing of a life really lived for the Lord. Not just some, oh, I go to church. Well, who cares if you go to church? Do you love Jesus? And how does your life manifest that love? That's the issue. Do you love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? That's the issue here. And so I pray, the deepest concern of my heart then today is that we will just say, I want to be fertile soil here. I want to see what God can do with my life. I want to step up to the plate and say, God, if you can do all this crazy stuff with people, you can do it with me too. So here I am. Go for it. And as we do that, God will say, okay. He'll answer that prayer and He'll bless our life. And I believe that's what He wants to say to us this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You for the work that You do. I thank You that You are faithful to complete the work that You've started in us. And I love, God, how it's Your work. Because, man, we can't do these things. We can't overcome our issues. We can't overcome our hang-ups. We can't overcome our barriers. But, Lord, we can allow You to do it in our lives. And so this morning, God, I pray for those who have been touched by the things You've said this morning, have come to the realization of some of their issues and some of their problems that are keeping them from a blessed life. And I pray, Lord, that they would understand that they're just to allow You to do the work. And I thank You, God, that You are so wonderful and patient and good to us that You would want to fill our life with blessing and benefits and goodness and grace. And Lord, as the world searches to and fro, high and low, to find something to satisfy them, Lord, we have it in You. And so, God, this morning, let us let You, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing the last song. Good stuff, God's Word. Let's sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.